Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube, for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show, if you don't catch it live, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn mowers, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here's Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are late per protocol. As always, Ben shows up right at start time. Shocking no one. And I think one of our guests tonight from Hack City, he might be related to Ben because he just took off during the middle of the intro.
Oh, man, your other hat was great, but that's
all. Which is, I like the Culver's hat. I like it. He switched it up. All right, that was worth it. Off to my left, right, my right here, we've got Joe DeLeon and Sean Anderson of Hack City. Of course, we have Ben and Chad and myself, Brendan. So this is going to be a fun episode. You guys are coming back, not to Cali, but to Brookings, South Dakota. We won again because B-Team Mafia just plays for keeps. We don't screw around. You're welcome, by the way.
Are you guys taking full credit for that? Is that what you're saying? That the
Absolutely.
B-Team is solely responsible? There was no other intervention?
Well, what happens?
I mean, there was probably some bleed.
There's the Podfather, and you know the Mafia answers to the Podfather, so the B-Team Mafia answers to the Podfather, so it's kind of a cascading thing, but okay. I think we're going to go with that.
Well, I will say appreciate the effort from you guys, otherwise we'd be sitting in a CVS parking lot watching Houston Christian get blown out by 50 points.
So, you make it sound like it's a bad thing, Joe.
Hey, man, I know what you like to do.
Yes!
I'm not on for that. What's in the mug?
It's a big mug.
50 ounces of it.
That is not...
That fires me up.
Why do you think I had to have some solidarity with Sean and get him the pitcher?
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's constantly in use. It's one of the best listener gifts I've ever received. And just even a gift from a friend as well. It's really top notch. And I think the sentiment written on the picture reflects the sentiment that we all can share. Suck it, Joe.
By the way, has anyone else inquired about getting one of those? Or was it just Sean that's the sole owner of this ugly picture?
Sean is the only one who has it.
Okay.
I believe your other co-host,
Blake,
AYS Sports, Blake. Yeah, he asked. I sent him the link. I will be getting some for myself. I don't know if they'll say "Suck it, Joe" on them, but I mean, you can't. If you've never had like a glass pitcher in your house, like it is hard to overstate how awesome it is to have a glass pitcher. It's just perfect. And I was like, oh, I as soon as the big mug thing came up, I had to pull it up right away and go, what the? I got to see if I can get something stupid. So it was perfect.
You hit it out of the park.
I think last time we were on, Chad was drinking some fashion of a red drink. I never got the
answer
of what that red drink was. I think it was Busch Light and maybe Bloody Mary mix.
It was
an odd concoction.
You sure it wasn't
you guys don't that's
sure
right
it wasn't him because thing. He drinks red beers
other Dead side beers. This one okay, talk well, talk to me, Captain Redbeard who was late.
Somebody had a red drink and I still don't know what the red drink was.
Ben, I cannot hear. Why can't we hear Ben?
Ben, because not ben, only is he louder. Late, he doesn't have his ish together.
Talk louder. He doesn't have his speaker set up. He's just now. Look how red.
So we can say whatever we want about it. He can't say anything about it.
Technically, to his face. Yeah.
I think I fixed it.
Can there you it is. Yeah.
At least you don't got the Hitler stash going on.
If you've never had, I got a ring light. If you've never had a red beer, you need to have one when you come here. Bush Light tomato juice with green olives, preferably.
Sometimes.
Okay. Pickles. So it's like a Midwestern Michelada. Kind of.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds less cool.
Some people do it with Michelada in it.
Do you guys normally drink Bush Light or just never?
By the gallon.
You do?
Shut up, Sean. Yeah. Bush Light rules.
I can't remember the last time I had one.
Bush and Bush Light get a bad rap about being a college beer. And that's a good beer. Criminal. It's not a Natty Light garbage beer. It's actually genuinely a beer that I will enjoy drinking, and I enjoy the price. I'm fine with the price with it. Also, I'm not going to complain about that. But it gets a bad rap. Somehow it got looped in with Natural Light. The Bush.
That's Light the can design.
Not,
I think
it does not even come different? Close. It's because they're cheap. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not like the representation that Bush Light and Bush has gotten recently.
I agree.
So, speaking of drinking, last time you guys were out here was the marker game, right?
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun. But we've tried to convey a little bit through some DMs on Twitter and stuff that there's the marker game. Like, there's two things you want to go to, and that's where, like, you got to go to Hobo Day. Uh-huh. Because there's Hobo Day and there's the marker game. They're distinctly different. They're, I would say, event-wise, Hobo Day's bigger. Game-wise, the marker game's bigger. But it's hard to convey, even in words necessarily, but just through a Twitter DM is really difficult. So I don't know. Ben, Chad, do you guys want to explain to them the difference? Because Joe, we obviously remember, had a morning that Saturday morning.
I had a night that preceded the morning.
That's right.
Yeah, but you made it sound like you didn't even tie one on that night. Like, you were going soft.
Well, I had phrasing way too much the night before. Yes, but my point is that it's not. My great point show is that it's. I didn't just show up and vomit. I didn't just immediately show up and vomit because it was a singular shot. It was all the drinking, the no breakfast leading up to that, and then the vomit. What are you? What are you putting your
wasn't
finger
the vomit?
It
vomit
was about. It was. We rolled up and we saw the crew, and no, it was fireball shots all around. Like, the within, I couldn't even put my case down, and it was the fireball shots all around. And I said, "Okay, yeah, let's get it. Let's get it going. This is what we're here for." I don't know. We had met him for a minute and a half. We had a shot, and you threw up.
I should have said no, but the problem is that we went.
No, you should not have said no.
There is no win-win in that situation. It was either say no and look like I'm soft, or say yes and puke, and that's what ended up happening. But Sean, I went from 8 o'clock to what, 2 a.m. drinking, no food, and then woke up, no food, stepped onto the campus of South Dakota State, and within 10 minutes had another drink with an upset stomach. You think that's going to be, it had nothing to do with.
Welcome to a Thursday, brother. That's
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mr. Hardo over here. Go to
so never
mind. You guys have we're in a party good.
As Brendan has been trying to convey, Hobo Day is different. You've got the night before will be packed downtown. The morning of, I assume you guys are gonna go get kegs and eggs before the parade. Is that on tap?
I didn't even know there was a parade.
I enjoyed the little so Hobo Day last time. That was fun. They rule.
Hobo Day is our homecoming.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so the morning of, you go downtown, you get kegs and eggs, and then you go to, that's about like 8:30. The parade starts at 9:30, and that is one of the biggest parades you'll see. You probably won't want to watch the whole thing because it's a little too long, but it's a very impressive, fun parade. And then obviously you go tailgate, go to the game, and then likely go downtown after, and that's a blast too. I will say it does get a little packed down there. You got to choose your bars wisely, but there are plenty cover of good spots down there. And yeah, there may be some cover charges on Hobo Day. I'm not sure, but overall, it's an awesome day. It's supposedly the biggest one-day event in South Dakota.
In the Dakotas.
In the Dakotas, yeah. That's its claim to fame. So you'll have a good time.
Yeah,
I know I'll have a good time. That sounds like a blast.
The tailgate is more focused on drinking than the marker game. I will say that. Like, I don't even bother making smoked meats. We'll have beer pong up and running during the tailgate.
I think the difference is whole day people turn it into a weekend. Like, the marker game, people are just coming that day. They go to the game, and then they go home. Hobo day, like, people get hotels for the weekend. It's like a whole – it's like a vacation.
I mean, it makes sense why it was so hard to lock down a hotel, and appreciate you guys and Brendan for helping us out with that. But, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a shit show in terms of us trying to keep up with all the drinking. What are you shaking your head? Stop shaking your head. You're shaking your head. What do you have to say? Say something.
He drinks out of big boy cups. You don't have to worry about Sean.
I thought we were going to go on a positive route because we both enjoyed the tailgate a lot last time.
Yeah.
My life was changed after going to that tailgate and experiencing
I need the Chislik again.
There wasn't a person back here that I didn't tell about this new, brand new to my life, needed to make it all about my life. Like it just became, it consumed me as I consumed it. So I look back at that tailgate very fondly.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to make the Chislik happen this time, but there will be plenty. Like, if you go out Friday night or anywhere you go Saturday, most places have Chislik available.
Like our sponsors, so, Cubbies.
Exactly.
Go to Cubbies. Chislik.
Cubbies is a great spot for Chislik. That's
good to know.
But I suppose we do have people watching us for the football content.
Not the drinking?
Not quite.
We're
the
just talking heads with drinks normally.
We're just trying to prepare you guys. We're just saying, you know, lace up your drinking shoes for this trip. Here. It's gonna be a little
more real.
Fortunately, you guys aren't driving across the state of Minnesota, which is fortunate because nobody likes driving across Minnesota. Yeah. However, quite the weekend for the Jacks. Just absolutely kind of laid the hammer down. We talked in the post game a little bit. SDSU fans are a little dissatisfied, I think, somewhat with that. Just, I don't know if you guys were able to catch the game or if you just saw the score. If you saw the score, you're probably like, what do you mean dissatisfied?
I mean, I can get, I caught a few of the highlights, not really the full scope of the game. And I always understand when fan bases are upset with a game where you feel like you should completely blow out a team. But again, you guys beat the shit out of them. Not every game is going to be 60-0 when you play a bad team. And Illinois State's not a bad program. So, like, what's the reason for the disappointment?
I think the frustration is the defense giving up 3 touchdowns.
It's not something Jackrabbit fans are used to seeing after the last year. And with who everybody who came back and the amount that has come back, and against Illinois State, I think it caught some people by surprise. And you know, you jump out to such a big lead immediately. It was 21-0 within the first like 8 minutes of that game. And then to not feel like it was fully put away to the last till third, fourth quarter, I think frustrated some people.
So what was the most satisfying win you guys have had this year then? I mean, would you then take South Dakota? Would you take the Drake win over the Montana State win? Because that Montana State win cemented you at number one, barring some crazy loss, for basically the end of the year.
The Montana State win felt really good. Good. After all the chirping of Ron, where are you at, Ron? He's on here somewhere commenting. all the chirping from those guys, that felt good. The Montana State game felt the best. Ron, there he is. Like, which one of you knows football? None of us. Somebody gave us a microphone.
Here we are. I love Ron. Ron has a new emoji for every single time he comments on something, and I respect it. He's leaked over. He's leaked over to our videos, and I love it. He's one of the most active people we've ever had tune into any of our stuff. He'll show up late, he'll still catch up to himself.
You think he's like a middle schooler with all those emojis? No, dude's like 50 or something.
Have you met him? Has anyone met him?
No, he told us once.
Oh,
yeah. Ron's a longtime caller, longtime listener.
We love Ron.
I would actually push back with the emojis. I can tell that that's someone's dad. I can. Everyone's got that one friend's dad who uses a lot of emojis. My dad's like used to be like that. He stopped doing it, but I think everyone has that one dad who does that.
I feel like I'm that guy. That's not good.
Well, you are a dad, and I use emojis. Yeah,
this
as well.
Is your intervention.
I'm firmly in dad territory. That's no doubt about that.
Brendan, we all would like to talk to you about something here today. So, you guys are stats voters, right? And
yes.
You guys, somehow. I'd say Craig lost the bet, but I don't, he just picks apparently anybody because Ryan's somehow on there. Ryan, what's his face?
Roberts.
Yeah, that went, but I do want to say props to you guys, for putting your polls out there. I think that's a huge deal. And I give all the props in the world for you guys for doing that. The question I have, do you guys feel like after you guys have done that and you receive some, I mean, you put your poll out there, you're always going to receive criticism. I got criticism mm-hmm. from Ben this week for my poll because he doesn't know what he's talking about. So
you know, it's more like that, not like.
You get some pushback from people. Do you think that's helped improve your voting and things like that and what you pay attention to?
I got to be honest. I don't really respond or pay attention to the criticism. I will admit that at a certain point halfway through the year, I completely scrapped my process for like how I was going about it. So instead I was feeling like I was reacting too much to the scores of what had happened or the outcomes and the highlights of stuff that I'd seen that happened. Instead, now I've got an actual sheet of notes that I'm going off of. And then I'm trying to update every single week that it makes sense and that I can make an argument if somebody does try to maybe push back. But at the same time, I feel like every time I tweet something, somebody has a problem with it. So I feel like if you end up listening to, you know, some dip with a Montana logo is his profile picture or some guy whose name is Penguin65, like that guy's obviously biased. You know, that guy is not going to be in your best interest. Those who are willing to have a conversation and are going to say, hey, why did you go with this or that? I'll respond. But if someone's being an asshole, fuck them. I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna get back to them. Is that the one curse word? Did I use our one curse word? Is that?
I didn't hear anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about. Dad's watching. However,
it's the pushback is interesting. I mean, I feel like Joe and I paid a good amount of dues to get to this point. We always joked about it. I never thought it was gonna really. You know, we always joked about Craig. Letting us get on there, and then right. I'm like, okay, but for all the shtick and bits that we do, we do take it pretty seriously. Like there's a good amount of consulting, a lot of thought goes into it, and the process. My process is always adapting a little bit. It's pretty easy with South Dakota State. They stay where they have been. But everyone else, 2 through 25, it's been really interesting because now. Everything that I used to bitch about with the polls, I can either adapt from that or I've learned like, maybe this team is still better even though they lost. So it's fighting my own past self and getting past the hypocrisy. And just trying to put together the best top 25.
By the way, one of the stupidest parts about it is it's very rarely you'll have somebody argue with you about the placement of your top 15 even.
Yeah,
but everyone is upset about who's at 20 to 25. And we said this on the show, 20 to 25, it doesn't matter because for that spot, there are 10 to 15 teams that you could make the argument for that fit there. It There's doesn't matter who in. I put. I
got a good win this week
for the blind.
They're 22. Yeah. Do you have at 12? Never that. 12's too high. No, it's why are they at 25? Why do you care? It's 25. You're not, if it started today and you're sitting at 25, you're not making the playoffs. So why are you complaining about that? At least complain about 24.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, some people do get the top wrong too. Like some people over on the, our Fans Nation friends, one of the guys likes to use it as a power ranking instead of a poll. Which is a completely different thing. I think
it's not the point of it.
Exactly. I think a good poll is a good blend between somewhat of a power ranking, but mostly, you know, resumes, how things gone throughout the whole year so far. I do think I appreciate how seriously you guys take it. And I think you guys are a great addition to that, the stats poll. And I would appreciate if we would get to the point where we would have everybody that was contributing was like you guys, like took it that seriously, took your time to consider things. Do you think we'll get to that point? Like, especially now that the playoff committee is using it, mm-hmm. are we going to get to a point where we start to weed out some of the people that submit polls to the stats poll and say, okay, you guys clearly aren't taking this seriously. We need to get you out of here.
I feel like Craig, I mean, I've only been doing this with Craig for a year, and Sean and I had a relationship with him before, which kind of helped us out in this opportunity that we've been in contact with him. We talked to him every so often over DMs, but I don't know if he's the type of person that would necessarily boot voters. I just don't think he comes off of that type of person, but I at least appreciate, and I think that what you're saying with us being public about who we're voting for and maybe trying to respond to people, I would hope that it pushes more voters to be more public about it and to put out their voting and their decision-making, because like, I see a lot of people posting their FCS Fan Nation poll, their, what's the other one? It's like Redshirt Sports or something along those lines. Yeah. I keep seeing those, but I don't see outside of maybe like 10 people that put out their stats one. So I hope that eventually if we keep doing it and we keep cultivating engagement, and maybe those people see that we're generating all these conversations, that they would tag along and be a part of it.
Maybe they say they don't want any part of it because we're getting called cucks and we don't watch the game. Like, I don't know if I would want a part of that. But it's just a little confusing sometimes because you're not talking about who you're voting for in the next election. You're not talking about anything. You're ranking the top, you know, you're putting together your stats FCS ballot. What is there to hide? I don't understand it. Like, this is who I think is 1 through 25, and people withholding that, it just seems silly to me.
I think some people just don't want to have to answer for why they have things the way they are. I think that's what it boils down to. That's just my opinion on certain people, but
I get that. I think that there's probably a demographic of people that definitely fall into that where they're like, oh, I don't want to have to respond to people. And some people don't like it. I for one, am kind of entertained by it. Like, I laughed at the guy who called Sean a cuck. Heath pisses me off. Oh, it still is one of the worst people I've ever interacted with. I still kind of get a little bit of a kick out of him consistently playing into the bit of being a pain in my ass.
Joe, do you get a kick out of King Hack in the comments over here?
I think a lot of the voters just aren't active on social media. You know, in all seriousness, it's kind of sad. Yeah. I feel like Sean and I might be two of the more active. Like, Jamie's very active. I just don't think there's a lot of people that are super active on social in the FCS community. We need more of that. We need more young voters to maybe lift that up a little bit more.
Well, I think some of them are so detached that
yeah,
they don't realize, number one, how big of a deal it is. Like when Ryan Roberts posted his poll and he just got shredded, deservedly so, because it was like NDSU had just lost the USD and he had him at number three. Like, what are we doing? But when I don't think he understood from his perspective, when you see what he does, a lot of like Notre Dame stuff and everything like that, I don't think he realized the following and the passion behind it. Because then I saw his only response was, you guys need to get a life.
Yeah, he needed to not do that. That was not the right thing to say.
No, exactly. Like, I get the frustrated response, like coming back and be like, oh my God. But also, it wasn't, there was plenty of just trollish comments on there. But there was a fair amount of people who know what's happening that were like, what are you doing? And to just blow them off just shows that you're not really taking it seriously.
I will say this about Ryan. For anyone, he shouldn't have responded that way, and I gave him shit for it. And I did also talk to him. I wanted to know like where his thought process came from. And we're probably gonna eventually start doing, Sean and I are gonna do like a ballot breakdown show, and Ryan's probably gonna do it with us so that we can kind of talk through and hear his thoughts. But I will say this. it's a big misconception for the way that his ballot was perceived. Ryan's probably one of the more plugged in people than people realize. Like, he knows and watches so much film for these FCS teams because he evaluates them as draft prospects. He's fucking texting me yesterday about a Maine linebacker that he spotted when watching URI Maine, or he'll text me about Cole Wisniewski, the North Dakota State safety that no one else is talking about. So he knows his stuff. I just think his thought process was, yes, North Dakota State lost, but I think that they'd still beat everybody, but that approach was incorrect.
Does he get that? Like, after you have that conversation with him, does he get that, or is he just like, ah, that's just how I do my poll?
The latter. He's look, I love Ryan. I love Ryan, but Ryan is stubborn. So, I mean, and he knows that. He doesn't care. He's just going to keep doing whatever he wants. But
right.
Well, as long as it's not like that at the end of the year, that's when it really matters. Or towards the end of the year, in the beginning of the year,
good point.
Week five, yeah. Does it really matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter a lot mid-season. The concern I have about it, wow, I didn't think this was going to turn into a poll conversation show, yet here we are. You know,
you're the one that did the rant.
This is going to have to be just marked as explicit because we're just talking about dudes' polls. But anyway, the issue I have with it is if you do too much, well, I don't want to drop them just yet, or, oh, I don't want to move them up just yet because I want to see more. If you do that for too long, you end up so married to what your preseason conceptions were as opposed to what actually played out on the field. Yeah. So now you get to the end of the season, and now that the poll really, really matters, if you're like, well, I think these guys are the best just because I think they are, you're going to end up people affecting seeding and who gets in based off of what your personal feelings are and what not actually happened.
My one thing I would just, I feel like a lot of, yes, there probably is a little bit of bias that does come into play. I mean, like, I have Rhode Island on my ballot. I think that they deserve to be on there, but a lot of other voters don't. So yes, somebody could point out my own bias, but I also think, and we see this with the freaking coaches poll, the fact that Montana's number 10 is proof of that. I think a lot of times people just see the big name teams and they just slot them at the top and then they just kind of check the rest. And that's an incorrect assumption, but I think it's less bias and just more less bias for teams that they support or like, or names that they like or brands that they like, just name recognition. It happens in the national landscape too for FBS.
All right. Sean. Enough poll talk.
Yeah. I have some conversation for Sean with his Culver's hat.
Yeah.
How familiar are you with Culver's on the East Coast? You have the Culver's
hat. Never had it before in his life.
What? Shut the front door.
It's not true. I had Culver's when I was watching Green Bay play the Washington football team at Lambeau. Attaboy.
As so God intended.
I did have Culver's then. Okay. People on the East Coast, I'm glad we're getting to the hard-hitting issues. People on the East Coast have a general awareness of it, but they don't talk about it. So if somebody says Culver's, they'll be like, oh, why does that sound familiar? And then they're like, oh, it's the Midwest cheese curd place. The hat has gotten a very, like, it gets a lot of run. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know Culver's. It's like, it's kind of like wearing a Bucky's sweatshirt. Like, I have a Bucky's sweatshirt that I was gifted. And so people just walk by, Bucky's! I'm like, yeah, I guess we're cheering for the gas station. But same thing for the cheese curds. So there is some familiarity with Culver's. I very much enjoyed it. I do think that the Wisconsin Midwest Butterburger was oversold to me. I feel like that the concept of it, yeah, it's a good burger, but people said it was going to change my life. And if I'm going to be fair about the food in the Midwest, it did not change my life.
Speaking of changing your life, though,
yeah,
have you heard of the Curder Burger?
I saw that on Twitter this week. I saw that. It looked fantastic. What's the orange sauce? What is
it
that?
It is fantastic.
That is not orange sauce. That is a whole cheese curd across the size of that burger.
Like, it's a curd the size of a burger.
You gotta go get that.
You gotta be the curd burglar.
It'll be a great hangover cure on Sunday morning.
Yes.
Or Sunday before you leave. I don't want to be Sunday, but
we have to be a little responsible on Saturday night because Slappy over here has to get on a plane that's at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we have to be, yeah, I have mine at 7. Yeah, we're gonna, if we're too hungover, we're not gonna get on that plane.
I'll get you down there. That's no sweat. You won't even be hungover. Maybe you'll be riding the high from the night before.
We gotta drive a rental car back.
Post game before you head out downtown, it'll be a good way to keep you from getting too drunk, maybe.
There you go.
By the way, before we do end up getting out of here, before it gets skipped over, Sean picked you and I on our show, by the way.
Why would you say something like that before it gets released?
Because it doesn't matter. I'm not letting you get you off safe here. You picked Northern Iowa.
So Joe thinks this is going to turn into Sean getting shit on here, but little does he know, the last two hobo days we've played you and I, we've lost. And there is a fairly strong sentiment amongst Jackrabbit Illustrated that we might lose this game.
Don't give him a pass.
I'm not giving him a pass. I'm telling you, the Podfather himself.
I'm glad we saw.
It's on the record already.
Years.
Sean, yeah. Don't act like you knew that. Don't act like you knew that.
I'm glad that I'm talking to some true Jackrabbits official knowledge holders.
We know that Sean is an avid follower of Jackrabbit Illustrated, and he obviously read this in our preseason write-up by Matt.
Totally. I just don't know why you would say that and air me out just out of the blue.
Because you're not going unscathed. You're not showing up to South Dakota without that being out there on the table.
And did you not pick North Dakota State last time before you came out?
Yes, he did.
He did.
He did.
He's not leaving South Dakota without a lump on the back of his head.
Whatever happened to the fist fight we were supposed to have?
We were too little.
He ran away from me in LA. He did not like it.
I didn't run away from you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he didn't like it.
I picked North Dakota State because it was a much closer matchup. I don't think that this week is as close of a matchup as that North Dakota State South Dakota State game.
So you've got SDSU winning comfortably.
Yes. Yes.
And Sean, are you gonna put your money where your mouth is and bet you and I Moneyline?
I mean, it's got to be a tasty number.
I'm sure it is. It's going to be like a 20-point spread.
Moneyline, I don't know. No, yeah, I think I would put my money where my mouth is on the rent payment. Oh, hey, don't a pocket watcher. I don't know. It's not my unit.
No $2 bets over here.
Oh my God. Well, I know you guys had to get going here tonight, so. And I think it is about a boot that time. So
it is a boot that time.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys joining us. We look forward to seeing you this weekend. Anybody wants to see you guys? I know you'll be out and about Friday, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We're getting in pretty early, probably like middle of the day on Friday. So we're going to be
sweet
tearing it up, and Saturday we'll be around and looking to hang out with everyone. We'll obviously be following you guys around for a little bit, and we're excited.
Sweet.
We're easy to find. You guys.
I don't know if that
you more so than Joe.
I'm easy to find. You can always walk up to me and Joe, say hello. I feel like we're pretty comfortable talking with those that we know or don't know yet.
Hell yeah. Well, we're looking forward to you guys coming out. We're gonna have a good time. I'll be up there Friday night. Chad's gonna be up there Friday night. I don't think Ben is. But I know we both, Chad and I, have rooms up there. I got a whole gang of guys going up with us. So we're going to be getting rowdy. Ariel, my pregnant wife, has volunteered to DDS home when the bars close on Friday. So that's pretty sick. No, she hasn't. She has not done that.
I mean, she should have to. I mean, if she can't drink.
Right. It's like that's shit that someone who is not married says. That's what that is.
100%. And she watches the show, right?
Sean, you need to send that clip to his girlfriend and then see what the reaction is on that one.
I don't think she's real, but
my girlfriend, it's up for debate.
I mean, I can't believe he couldn't convince her to come to Brookings, South Dakota from LA.
she would not come. She absolutely would not come to Brookings.
Hey, baby, we're going on a vacation to where? It's somewhere, where you can see for miles, and you're going to love it.
She does like football, so there's maybe some way to convince her.
South Dakota, where all you can see is far.
And lots of wind turbines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
We got those.
Yeah.
So, but we'll let you guys go. Thanks for jumping on. We appreciate you guys, and we will see you at the end of the week.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see you, fellas.
Thanks for having us, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Talk to you soon. All righty.
So, back to our irregularly scheduled programming.
Split. Yeah. Yep. Should we talk about the Illinois State game again?
We're what? 38 minutes deep, dang near? Yep. No, 36, I guess.
We don't have a schedule. That's in God's hands. I don't know. Did Ariel even see that and comment? I hope she didn't.
Oh, she said what? Talking to her. She said what?
What? Oh no, that's not a what. That's a what. That's what that is. With feeling.
You would know better than any of us.
I'm aware. Yes. I don't get that one a whole lot. Let's avoid that danger zone. So, do we want to go over the picks? How the picks went?
Quickly, we need to recap the Illinois State game. One thing, the rushing offense looked awesome. And especially going in against a team that was supposed to be, I think they were like in the top five or whatever in rushing defense, and to run for like 370 yards, it was just a dominant performance. People can be a little upset about the giving up three touchdowns on defense, but I'll guarantee you that if the offense had only scored 20 points, I highly doubt the defense has given up three touchdowns. I mean, it's not easy. It's easy from a fan perspective to say, well, why don't you just play like it's a close game all the time, but it's not that easy. And it's human nature, and it's going to happen, and it's fine. We would love to see them win 42-6 every game, but it's just not how it goes. John says our expectations are too high. Put up 40, won by 19. I agree that we have super high expectations, which is great. I love it, and it's awesome, and it's great that we have such an engaged fan base with super high expectations, like Jimmy was talking about. As long as we keep showing up to the games, he's fine with those high expectations. So just keep doing that. Outside of that, obviously Isaiah was amazing. Our Scare Money, Don't Make Money podcast, which will be tomorrow night. Jimmy kept that mantra going with a bunch of fourth down conversions. Love to see that. Gronowski looked comfortable. Not much else to say about that game. It stinked not having Bach in there, but Savion played well in his absence. It'll be interesting to see if we see Bach this weekend or not. But other than that, you got anything else on this game?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Like, the complaints are overstated for sure. I mean, yeah, would you like the pass defense to be better? Sure. I don't think we were in a normal pass defense most of the time either. We were sitting pretty soft for a lot of it, so that's fine. It was a great performance. I mean, it's exactly what you wanted to do on the road. Jump out, jump on them, and never let off the throat. I mean, and the one thing that stuck out to me, my wife points out the trash announcers, and reality is it kind of is what you get with these feeds. But one of the announcers who played for Illinois State, I can't remember his name. He played for Illinois State, and then he played in the NFL for like 3 years. And when he jumped on, he comments, he's like, when I was on the field by that offensive line, it felt like I was standing next to the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, which for Joe Blow announcer to say that, whatever. But for a dude who played in the league, like that's the real deal. Like, and they absolutely acted like they were the Dallas Cowboys offensive line playing in FCS. Like, they mauled people. Just really, really well done. It was fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt. You could tell the 605 Hogs were out to prove a point from the get-go. They were mauling guys, moving the line. I mean, if they play like that every game, we're just, the offense is going to be so hard to stop, and we're going to be scoring, you know, around 40 points a game, and good luck scoring that many points on our defense. So yeah, I mean, it's just the way this team is. We have the guys to play like that and to dominate like that. And if they continue to do that, I just don't see anybody stopping us. But like we said, you know, we are a little worried about this UNI game. We've been worried since the start of the season. Yep. Matt, I think, is more worried than anybody about it.
But, I'm as worried as he is. If I'm
are right you on. Just I'm, as nervous? Right as he
is. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a superstitious creature, and I don't think you understand. I wore the same SDSU shirt for every game last year. I wore the same socks for every game. I wear the same pants for every game. I have the same pin on for every game. So I'm a very superstitious creature, and yes, I feel not confident because I feel confident. Like we said, the defense didn't play bad. Are we jumping into our analysis of this already, or?
No, I was just putting up that we're all at the same level in conference right now.
So I'm not going to get too deep into it until we talk about the game, but yeah, my guts are all twisted about this one.
Not yet. Let's go ahead and recap the picks from last week. We had Montana with the big win over UC Davis. It's interesting, you know, Montana got shit on for a long time, but, you know, let's say they turn around and beat Idaho this weekend. People are going to start to eat their words real fast. I mean, they didn't look good against bad teams, but they won, right? And they could.
That's fine.
I'm just saying, if they end up beating Montana, they're going to have a record and a big win to go with it. And I'm not assuming they're going to beat Idaho, but it's interesting to see how it'll go.
I'll say this, and I'm not discrediting Montana's win. I gave them full credit for the win in my poll. They're back in my poll for the FCS Fans Nation. You know, I didn't expect them to win. I'm also not completely stunned they won over UC Davis without Larrison. If they win this week, I will completely change all my viewpoint about them, and I will have them in the top 10. Because 7-1 with that win, they'll immediately go from, I think I got them at 23 or something, going to my top 10, because I don't vote off of slots. I vote off of what they do. However, I got a feeling that old friend Jason Eck is going to take out that big old whooping stick, and he's going to beat the living hell out of them. I do want to throw a shout out to the Hair Raisers podcast. If you don't listen, you should. But the fact that those guys did, I don't know if you heard them, Ben, this week. They actually did a recap of the Scared Money Don't Make Money picks.
Really?
Which was so cool. That was awesome. So I mean, you guys want to keep doing that. That's amazing. We tailgate with those guys. They're awesome dudes. They're a lot of fun to listen to. Super entertaining. So give them a listen. But I think Montana gets.
Stop. We have to do a show tomorrow night about this. Sorry. Stop talking about it.
I take it all back. I didn't say any of it. None of it matters.
All right. Anyway, Montana covered. We both picked UC Davis.
Unfortunate.
Western Carolina squeaked out a win against Chattanooga. Very entertaining game. They won 52-50. They did cover because they were 4.5-point underdogs. UND whooped up on Western Illinois. That was a get right game for them. 49-10. You called that one. USD did enough. They won 38-7. They covered their big spread. I called that one. NDSU won 38-10 like we thought they would. That was a pretty safe bet. Did you end up going to make a bet on that?
No, I got wrapped up and couldn't get down to the casino in time.
The most surprising outcome of the weekend was Southern Illinois getting whooped by Youngstown State 31-3. I watched that game back, and Southern Illinois just, they looked Nick Baker looked absolutely stunned for most of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked lost out there. And they, I don't know, Youngstown State exposed some weaknesses. I think Southern Illinois' offensive line looked slow. And if you can get pressure on Baker like they did and contain him, they clearly can't run the ball, you know, against a good rushing defense. And so they've got more holes than people thought. And I think, you know, you alluded to it when I asked you why you dropped them so far in your poll, you know, how they, maybe they were just a paper tiger. Maybe we were giving them too much credit for their wins and we shouldn't have.
Yeah. I mean, if you looked at their wins, they weren't bad wins, but you beat Northern Illinois, who, in my opinion, is certainly not better than Colorado State was the year we beat them, and you squeak it out instead of hammering them. That, and when I see an FBS win for a team when you're ranking them, it's a bonus if you have the resume to go with it, right? So, because there's a lot of teams, there's 3-4 teams every year that beat an FBS team and don't even make the playoffs. So, if you have a bad loss like that, and it's not bad because of Youngstown State per se, but bad because you got destroyed. I can't with good faith put you in even really top 15. Everybody's beaten SEMO, you know, and they've all been close, but everybody beat SEMO. So I don't know. What do you do with them?
Right. And, you know, it's like you said, it's not a bad win because it's Youngstown State, because that's a pretty good team, honestly. Yeah. Their defensive line looked real good. Number 9, Chris Fitzgerald, number 19, Anthony Johnson are dudes. They just pressured Nick Baker the whole game. They I think those two combined had like 4 sacks. The whole defense put 7 sacks up. Circle November 11th on your calendar. That, after watching that game, that is the one I'm the most worried about as an SDSU fan right now, is going to Youngstown State right after we play NDSU. Yeah. That is a tough spot for us, because that's a good team. That's a team that can potentially slow our run game and put some pressure on Gronowski. That's a good team. And they've got the offense to put up some points.
You talk about Youngstown. You know, Ron says you can run the ball down their throat. That came in after we started about Youngstown, but he might have been talking about Southern Illinois.
I think he was talking about Southern, but I think he's talking
about three. But Youngstown, you certainly cannot, because right? They're giving up 76 in Valley play. They're only giving up 56 yards per game rushing. That's crazy.
I mean, it helps when one of those games is giving up 6 yards.
No. If you look at their overall statistics, granted, they have 2 slap around games on there, but they also played Ohio State, and they're only giving up 70 yards per game rushing. That 76 yards per game rushing. That's not nothing, you know.
No, like I said, they're
built to win in the Valley.
Their D-line has some dudes. Chad, what are you doing over there?
He's hotel rooming it. Oh. Hey, they didn't pay to be on this show. Oh, just, now he's froze up there. That's even better.
Oh, did I?
Don't worry about going on mute while you unpackage your little cup there. We'll just let everybody listen to the plastic rustle.
I'm not used to that mic picking that up. I'm sorry.
No. Speaking of Chad's mic, we got to give somebody a shout out, right?
Absolutely.
We had some hero
Jim
ball.
Poppin. Jim Poppin gets the absolute shout out for saving the day. I didn't realize I had the wrong cable end on the cable I brought with. This one's got an archaic cable, and Jim drove like 40 extra miles just to bring me a cable at the Holiday Inn Express in Fort Pierce, South Dakota. Paid to say that.
He's the MVL, the most valuable listener for sure tonight.
That's true. Right. Love it. Our listeners are awesome.
You guys 100%. Are rock stars. B-Team Mafia comes through when you need them. I tell you what.
Thanks Jim.
Yeah, you're a stud, Jim. Thank you.
That plastic wrapper was brought to you by Jim Poppin.
Jim Poppin. That's right. He got his own sponsorship.
Without him, that couldn't have happened.
That's right.
moving on from the Youngstown game, we've got you and I didn't really do what they should have done against Indiana State. They let them hang around, and it's this UNI team. You can tell they play to their competition. It's insane how much they do that, because if they would have played like they did against Youngstown State, they would have beat Indiana State by 30. Because Indiana State's not a good team, but they let them hang around, and they almost had an issue at the end.
Right. But,
so yeah, they only won by 7. Did you have a comment on that?
No. You and I, we'll talk about them.
Yeah. They did not cover. They were favored by 21. They didn't even close to cover. SDSU ended up pushing. We won by 19. The spread was exactly 19. You were confused about that. Did you think the spread was something else?
I thought the spread was 21. Our friend Mr. Taco Betts himself, from FCS Fans Nation, Thompson. Brian Thompson. He was messaging me during the game.
Ah.
He put a not insignificant bet on us to cover.
And he
got us at 21 points. And that was sad. Yeah, and Ariel might have misled me as well. But yeah, he had us at 21 points. And Brian, sorry, buddy, that's a tough one. He was not happy, and I don't blame him, because that was not a small amount of money to throw on there. So what do you do? But
so
I thought the line was higher, so I thought I had the win.
In summation, I went 3-4-1. Brennan went 4-3-1. The computer had a good week, went 6-1-1. I'm 22-27-2. Brennan's 25-24-2. The computer is 23-17-2. So computer doing very well this year. Mm-hmm. We shall see if that continues on our show, Scare Money, Don't Make Money, which will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, I think.
Shameless plug.
Yep. So tune in for that. Let's quickly look at the Missouri Valley standings. I think Chad had that pulled up.
Hold on a second.
We've got three teams at the top. We're South Dakota State, USD, and Northern Iowa. And then you got a bunch of 1-1 teams, and then a few 0-2 teams at the bottom. Missouri State, Indiana State, and Western Illinois 0-2. Everybody else is 1-1. Outside of that, we got the top 25. The FCS Fans Nation top 25. SDSU is obviously number one. And then after that, we have waiting for Chad.
Other teams. Good teams.
Other teams in the valley.
Montana State number two, Idaho's
there. There it is. Montana State 2, Idaho 3, Western Carolina 4, Sac State 5, NDSU 6. And then we've got USD at 9, Southern Illinois at 11, UND at 15, and YSU at 16. We now have 6 valley teams in the top 16. Interesting. They were talking about it on the FCS Fans Nation show about how many Valley teams could potentially get in and how realistic it is based on just the kind of the chaos that's happening in other conferences, how the Valley could potentially have 6 teams in, and it's very likely they'll have 5. But it'll be interesting to see if teams start to eat each other, or if we can, or if that many stay in the running for the playoffs towards the end there. Outside of that, I think, you know, we'll go over all the Valley games in Scared Money, Don't Make Money, plus Montana at Idaho. Do you want to say anything about those now, Brendan, or wait till tomorrow night?
No, I'll wait till tomorrow night.
Love it.
Tune in tomorrow.
Love it. Well, the teaser. There is, I will say there are a couple big matchups. Youngstown State goes to USD, and NDSU goes to UND. Those are both big matchups in terms of rankings and in terms of within the Valley. Real interested to see if USD can keep this going or if they kind of come back to earth against Youngstown State. But like we said, we will preview all of those games and pick against the spread tomorrow night on the Scared Money Don't Make Money show. With that, let's talk about UNI, the scary game that we have on Saturday.
I don't like it.
Clearly, we've said that. Why don't you like it?
I don't like it, especially he was sneezing. I don't like it, especially because I kind of have some confidence after their last performance, which makes me more nervous.
Other than the superstition, why don't you like it? Or is that primarily it?
Other than superstition, it is arguable. Someone could argue that, we didn't have, it's hard to complain about the game last weekend, but we did appear to be vulnerable a little bit in the past game. And much like Youngstown State, overall, we're built to beat Valley teams, which the traditional way to beat Valley teams is take the run away from them and make them pass. Well, UNI doesn't want to run as much. They like slinging it around with Theo Day, and Theo Day historically has had good games against SDSU. He's just balled out to a higher level than Annexed has ever played, generally speaking. So that's concerning. Ron Lowney brought up the lack of sacks. There was a lot of pressure on Annexed in the Illinois State game. There really was, especially in the beginning of the game. Seemed like we almost turned down the intensity on the pass rush and started to drop more and everything in the later parts of that game. So that went away a little bit. But this game scares me. And I think the biggest thing is just the amount of times, it's not superstition per se, it's the amount of times that, last year the team didn't come out flat for Hobo Day, but these UNI games, we just seem to come out flat. And like you said, UNI plays to its level of competition. And I can absolutely see them playing. They love playing here. Farley said as much. He loves playing on Hobo Day. It's like his favorite thing. They love ruining it like nobody's business. I'm sure the team's tired of hearing us say that. It probably bugs them that we say that. Good. They've done everything in the world to earn our faith. Absolutely. However, it's like the last dragon to slay, really. And it's unfair to hold that against this team with Coach Rogers as the coach now. And all that stuff, it is just, it's still there.
I think the other legit worry is just how they played us last year too. Because, that's recent enough that that's not just superstition. That's like they played the team, primarily the team we have now, very close. Granted, it was in the Unidome. But like you said, they play very well in Brookings, so that may not change much. And Theo Day, he can ball out. There are games where he just kind of doesn't look great, but there are games where he looks really, really good and he makes some amazing throws. That game against Youngstown State, he willed them to victory. The other thing, Ty Edwards, the running back that got injured in Indiana State, if he can play against us, he's a factor. Like that guy's a dude. He transferred from where did he transfer from? Somewhere in the FBS. But he's a very, very good running back that provides, like you said, they don't love to run the ball, but he's enough of a threat where you can't just sit there and wait for them to pass the ball when he's in the backfield. So it will be interesting to see if he plays. Outside of that, I think it's just real important that we control the ball with our run game and limit the number of possessions that UNI has, because the more possessions you give them, the better chance that Theo Day will get going. And that's one thing that, we talked about that Youngstown State SIU game. SIU only saw the ball three times in the first half. because Youngstown State controlled the time of possession so much. And if we do something similar to that, you and I just won't get going. They're not consistent enough to beat us in a game like that. And so, yeah, I think that's a huge key for us.
Yeah, I agree. But first, I want to agree with that the section is segment is brought to you by Jackrabbit Central, who has a brand, their remodeled location downtown open for this week for Hobo Day. So if you're downtown and want to stop there quick instead of trying to get into the bookstore, which I'm sure is going to be a madhouse, stop at the downtown location, get yourself some sweet, sweet Jack's gear. It looks really, really good. So go and check that out. And I know we brought up Cubbies, but I do want to bring up four Cubbies. If you go to Cubbies this week, you purchase of any entree, you get a free Ears Up beer for Hobo Week, which is sick. Yes.
What? Just saw that why on are we Facebook not page. Advertising the heck why, out of that?
Right. Why aren't we there right now? I don't know. We should be.
I'm in there at a staff meeting.
Why are we? Ben and I could be having fun at Cubbies while Chad is sad in Fort Pierre. instead, we're all sad at home. No, I'm just kidding. I'm happy.
Plus, not only apparently do you get a free beer, free Ears Up with an entree, they have the Hobo Day Burger, which looks fantastic.
Yes. Pretty amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Blue and gold burger, right?
Yeah. You
call it. Which some that's people
it has be gold sauce. Gold about. Sauce.
Gold yep. sauce.
Gold sauce.
But
also back to Jackrabbit Central, you should see, I'll have to wear it or bring it down for the next episode. I got a bum knee, so I'm not going to go do that right now. But
come on, hop along.
The Columbia jacket that I got is fantastic. It's a like a Columbia, like kind of a, not a heavy jacket, but it's like a light jacket, but it's from Jackrabbit Central. It's amazing. They have
like one of them black ones.
Yeah. Yep.
What you're talking about.
It's like got kind of the puffer thing on the top. And anyway, that's cool that they have Columbia stuff. They also have a pretty good North Face selection at Jackrabbit Central. So yeah, they're definitely the place to go for your Jackrabbit apparel needs.
Yeah. The one thing now about this game that I am curious about, it's sold out. We know it's sold out. It's going to be chilly. It just is. It's going to be in the 50s. Possibly 40s. Ariel and Seth have brought it up. We need everybody to show up and not decide to sit in a warm bar.
There's no way.
I'm not saying not a lot of people are going to show up or anything. I'm just saying, hey, choose the game, then go to the bar.
No way.
No way.
No
there,
way.
There will be what? plenty of time for bar way. After the game. The good this rain forecast better hold, because if it's another cold rainy game against you and I,
gosh, I'm gonna shoot myself. I mean, my wife was pointing that out midweek. She's like, "Have you seen the forecast? Is it gonna be like that other time when it rained the whole game?" And you know what happened? I was like,
"Yeah,
no."
Somebody brings that up this week. I go, "La la 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 la."
Yeah.
No. Should we win by a couple touchdowns? Probably. I fully expect a dogfight, just because that's you and I's MO. Bright side is their back isn't totally against the wall this time, which is weird because I thought that's just what the prophets always foretold for this game. But that is cool.
It's going to be a test for our secondary, that's for sure. And I think it's a week for them to prove it. You know, there've been some games, particularly this last one, where we've questioned and said, is our secondary a problem? You know, this is a week where they're going to be tested and they're going to have to prove it. And I think they don't have to create a turnover for us to win, but if we get an interception or two off Theo Day, we'll win by 20 to 30. I mean, that's just the way the game will go. And so if we can force that, it's going to be a lot easier game. If we let Theo Day sit back in the pocket and pick us apart, he's got the arm talent to do it. He can sling it around the field, man. You'll see him make some throws that are NFL caliber, honestly. He's got that kind of arm talent.
Yeah, we really need to do is get some quick three and outs on him. We need the Hogs to dominate like they have been, which I don't expect that to go away. Hogs dominate the line of scrimmage, Isaiah Davis and Amar, and get some quick three and outs and get on them right away. And don't let them back in it.
Right.
Which is like stupid because that's what everybody wants.
Kevin, I said if we get two interceptions. because honestly, I do. I think that
that is bull.
If we get two interceptions, we'll win by 20. That's just how the game will go, in my opinion.
Kevin Marshall, of course, of FCS Nation Radio. Go ahead and throw that on during your tailgate. I'm pretty sure it's on early in the morning on Saturdays in Brookings. The ranch, isn't it? It's on the ranch?
910 the ranch, I believe, yeah.
910 the ranch, same one that Matt has his guest appearance on every week, which you should also check out, obviously. Who doesn't want to listen to the Podfather?
With J.D. Barrett.
With J.D. Barrett, friend of the pod. Our pod has so many friends. We're just friendly pod, except for Craig Haley. He's not a friend of the pod. He doesn't like us.
He does not like us.
Craig Haley, more like Craig Hate Me, am I right?
Am I right? Get it?
Seth says if we got time possession of 34 minutes before, he likes our chances. Yeah, I mean, if we're running the ball and eating the clock, I think we'll be fine. We don't have anything to worry about. If we, you know, for some reason, you know, can't convert on third down, we start, you know, giving them more chances to have the ball on offense, it could be a dogfight. It'll be very important to control the ball and keep it out of Theo Day's hands. Definitely.
Yep. I do want to mention, if anybody, you know, caught the coach's show, I can't recommend listening to that enough. That's a lot of 100%. Fun with Jimmy. It was good. It was very good when it was the Stig show, but maybe it's just because it's Jimmy doing it now. It's different. I like it a lot. You know,
I think it's cool because Jimmy opens up, right? Yeah. Like he normally is just so reserved and like closed off, and it's him like opening up and actually giving you insight, and his insights are just awesome to hear. So yeah, 100% go listen to it.
Yeah.
And he's got great one-liners all the time.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yep. Always. Obviously we named a show after it. he did bring something up that I agree with. You know, as frustrated as we get with the penalties, because who doesn't? You know, they don't want to get penalties. But he did point out, you know, when you play guys, you coach guys to be aggressive and to make plays and to be physical, you're going to get some of those penalties because you're going to get the illegal hands to the face. You know, you're going to get, you know, I don't know who it was. God bless you. I appreciate the follow and listen and everything, but somebody commented, I think during the A-team or maybe it was during our post game show, who said Mason with the personal foul, that's so unlike him, man. That dude pushes he plays through the echo of the whistle, and that's what happens. It's 100%. That is not unusual. That's Mason McCormick, and that's what you love about him. You'd hate to play against him.
I think it was on the A team because Matt had a similar take as Jimmy did on, you know, when you're playing with an edge like that, you're going to get some of those face masks, your hands to the face, playing past the whistle a little bit.
No, oh yeah,
the timing was terrible, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah,
timing was terrible.
The play that he got, I think it was like one where he finished the guy into the ground, wasn't it?
Yep.
And he does that like probably 20 times a game. The refs just don't see it. The refs just don't see it, or
it's not like, illegal.
Yeah, right. As long as it's
sort of
close enough to the whistle, but. And it probably depends on like how aggressive it is. Like if
he's away from you and you run at him and pancake him, yeah, you're probably gonna get a whistle. If you're face to face and you fall on him and put your hands up, you're probably good.
Did you guys see what actually happened on that call? Because I didn't. In my assumption,
I didn't either. It was off screen, I think.
You know what it feels like? Remember when he got one of those last year for being too far away for the play, and he just drove a guy the next century and pancaked him, and then they threw a 15-yarder for it. And we're going, are you kidding me? That feels like one of those.
100%.
There was another one, the blindside block on the kickoff. And I remember going to the chat, and Alex Kankel here, he was giving him the business, was like, well, you know, you have to engage with your hands first now, which is a soft rule if you ask me, but whatever. Because I said, how do you blindside somebody on a kickoff? Like, you're running straight at each other.
There's
the only way it's blindside is if the guy turns his head around and runs backwards at you, in which case I would argue he deserves to be knocked out because that's stupid. So they sent that play in, and it got, and the Valley officially said that, yeah, that wasn't a blindside.
Right. Like
what I was trying to get to.
Like Jimmy said on the coach's show, it's a kick out. It's there's a guy coming in from the outside, and you have a guy coming inside going outside and making sure that he cuts that guy off before he can close off that lane. And like you said, it shouldn't have been called that way, and they got it reviewed, and they shouldn't have called it. But,
you know, my wife didn't believe I could finish all 60 ounces of this.
Well, you're not finished yet.
For the record.
All right.
Done, diddy, done, done.
Nice job. Nothing
like a quick half gallon of chocolate milk. I'm still mad we don't have a milk sponsor. It's so garbage. I want free milk.
Well,
you know, quick,
you know, your favorite gas stations.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Quick Star.
Oh,
God. Have you stopped at one yet?
There hasn't been one open yet.
In Brandon.
Oh, is it?
And Brandon, it's open, yeah.
Wales, Wales, Wales. I will have to stop by there.
Mm-hmm. That might have been the first one up in the state.
I think it was.
I think it is.
Because the other one's on Cliff, and it's not.
It's in a weird spot.
There's six of them in Sioux Falls. I know that.
Six?
There's going
putting in six. Yeah,
that's
putting up six as we speak. Yep.
Well, and Circle K's been buying up everything too, because like that one up by Baltics now, Circle K. They bought everything up and down I-29.
I like Matthew's comment here. Wildy's ready for a 2-touchdown game. I don't know about 2 touchdowns, but I like him.
I'll allow it.
I like him to have a game. I think that he's due, and I can see us spreading the ball around a little bit. And I like that call. I can see it.
Yeah. You know, I think some of it, we weren't running a lot. We were running a lot of like 1-2 receiver routes on these play action passes because we were in heavy formation and killing them on the play action pass. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why Wildy had a down game. You know, he just wasn't. We didn't run 3 wide receiver sets very often. Why would you? You ran for 347 yards or whatever it was. Yeah, sorry. You're not getting a lot of run in that game, but. Yeah, I'm with you. I can totally see that happening.
It's interesting. Did we see Quentin Christensen?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
In this number 83, our hands tight end, he was out there.
Was he?
Yeah. Wait to catch the ball.
I must have missed him out there.
The fact that Jimmy's like, wait till he catches, he's going to catch a podcast pass. Wait till he's never catching a pass.
He just wants teams to be worried about it.
Do you think Jimmy would be tell like, oh, we're gonna do this? Like, I'm fairly confident Mark Farley doesn't listen to this show, so it's fine. Do we?
Maybe just to be cocky, he would.
I mean, I want to see it, and it'll probably be like a goal line situation if it happens, because that'll make me very happy. I love seeing linemen score touchdowns. I mean, tight ends.
All right. With that, do we have any other comments on this game?
No, we're almost to a buck 15.
Yeah.
I saved those extra minutes to push Ben over on Scared Money Don't Make Money. So,
no, it will be that show is going to be less than a half hour every time.
Uh-huh.
It will.
It would help if you show up on time.
I'll just log off.
Right.
You guys can finish it.
Yeah, right. Whatever. No way.
I'm telling you, 20 20 to 30 minutes.
If we can if get you it to... just jump off, I'm doing the whole quote for no way.
I don't care.
The whole thing.
It's not a threat to like, me.
What?
No hey, Jim, way. You came in clutch earlier. I think it's your time to shine, buddy.
Yeah.
somebody Wait,
Ron,
actually.
Ron Lowney was... just hates Farley, man.
No, you know what? You know what Ron feels like on this? I had a friend who's an NDSU fan do this for a long time where he would say, to try in an attempt to jinx SDSU, he would pick SDSU and he'd say book it every time, and then he would proceed to bet $100 on SDSU to try to give us bad juju of us losing. That's what this feels like. Ron's like, God, I want SDSU to lose. I want them on the road coming to Montana State in the playoffs, and he's trying to will it into existence through reverse psychology juju.
Before we go, I do want to, Matthew's got the takes tonight. I don't know if he's the one that said it earlier, but
he did.
He said something about let's get some more recruits to commit. Yes. Let's make it an awesome atmosphere, show up, get to the stands early, be loud. It's been mentioned. If you watch the coaches show, all the players and coaches that are on there, they've been talking about how amazing the crowds have been. Keep that up. And let's make some get some more potential recruits to commit. With that, I think it is time to go. And as Jim Poppin always says, and as we always say, go big, go blue,
go Jacks.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go Jacks!